The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
A smiling, familiar face that I enjoy getting to see once again. Dr. James Spencer from the D.L. Moody Center is here with me at the NRB. It's great to see you again, my friend.
It's great to be here, Mike. Yeah, always a pleasure.
You know, this is, I don't know how many times we've been able to meet. Every time I come away from talking with you, I have two things in my heart. Number one, I have a profound new and an appreciation for the gospel of Jesus, because that's really what you're about at the end of the day. A lot of times people can think when you're working for an organization as storied and well-known as D.L. Moody, I mean, that name is amazing.
Yeah,
we even
really
got
is.
To see the name Moody in the video last night at the opening video at the NRB. A lot of people would think that's what you're about, but I think, number one, you're about the Lord. And then number two, it's not even about the cool thing that you do at the D.L. Moody. It's the fact that you're out there teaching other people about how to be a family, how to live as a family in a culture like what we're living today. That is a great thing. You're a family man.
I am, yeah. My wife and now four kids. So we have an 18-year-old son who's about to go to college, two 15-year-old twin daughters, identical twin girls, and then we're adopting a 3-year-old daughter. We've had her for a little over a year and some change now, and we've decided that we're going to keep her. So we're adopting a 3-year-old, and I'm kind of starting over.
Wow. Now, a lot of people may not understand that, and they may think that you guys are just a little bit on the crazy side, but when you fall in love, that's one of your family members right there.
Yeah, it is.
And your work has also caught notice, not only, of course, in the Christian community, but you appear regularly on some of the major news sources like Fox News.
Yeah, I'll be on Fox News. I just did an interview with him yesterday, so we're talking a little bit more about technology and transhumanism and artificial intelligence. So that'll be coming out soon. And then I had an article published in the Wall Street Journal here recently on the resignation of Dr. Gay from Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, pretty cool.
That whole thing was pretty eye-opening from the get-go.
Yes.
And, you know, I guess I believe at this date there's still one of the three that is still in place. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Gay finally did. I mean, the University of Pennsylvania moved very quickly.
Very quickly. But I believe the MIT person is still in place.
Yeah, still in that.
That's my understanding.
This is a concerning culture in which we are. And I know that you serving for some folks and with the history, which is just wonderful legacy left behind by D.L. Moody.
Yeah.
This has got to be for you a little bit of a concerning time, because people don't appreciate the past or legacy the way they once did in America.
Yeah, I think, you know, I was just talking about this with some guys this morning. I lead a Bible study via Zoom with some gentlemen out in Virginia, so shout out to them. But we were talking through Matthew 24, and it's where Christ is telling his disciples what things are to come. And he's talking about all the different tribulations that God's people are going to have to go through, and the wars and rumors of wars that we'll hear about. And I think that as we progress through history, what we're often finding is that we're seeing an increasing departure from God's word. We're seeing an increasing departure from the order that God set in place. And that ultimately what we're going to find is that there's going to have to be a pattern of correction or a pattern of end, like we're going to end the pattern.
Yeah.
And right now, I personally see this as just another sort of bump in the road. I'm not seeing it as sort of, oh my gosh, everything is getting so horrible, it's getting so bad, it's getting, you know, worse and worse and worse and worse. What I see is a lot of people buying into stories that deny and diminish God, which isn't all that different from any other era, and the need for God's people to proclaim the gospel in word and deed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, it's as simple as that. It really does get down to that simple. And there are complexities, and I don't mean to oversimplify everything, but it really does just get down to that. We need to be proclaiming the gospel. We need to be an alternative community in this world so that people in the world can see what it's like to live for Christ.
I agree with you. And when you think about what prosperity does, the test that it brings into your life, it certainly has had its number done on America. Because I think we've gotten a long way away from the spirit of the people that founded our country. And it is easy to just fall back. And, you know, the simplicity of which you speak about the gospel, it will burn bright if things around it and around the world are just blackness. Then the gospel will burn brightly.
That's right. And I think, you know, you can go all the way back to Deuteronomy 8, where God is sort of telling Israel, when you go into the land and you're enjoying houses you didn't build, cisterns you didn't dig, you know, food you didn't plant, don't forget me.
Yeah.
And I think that that's some of what we're seeing right now is the decadence of the culture, the things that we've built that seem to be providing us with security, that seem to be providing us with all that we need to live. They're becoming more and more inevitable. And we forget that God is standing behind all those things.
Yeah.
That it is God who is truly giving us all this provision. And that we really do, and I'll go to another one of my favorite passages, Malachi 3, where the Israelites have a food shortage. And so they're dealing with sort of an opposite problem. But to solve that food shortage, what do? They decide they're not going to give offerings to God. They're going to save the food for themselves. And God says, you've worked out the math in the wrong way.
Yeah, that's right.
You forgot to factor me in.
Yeah.
And he tells them to test him by trusting him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really think that's what the church needs to do right now. We need to test God by trusting God. And we just need to do some of the little things that he's asking us to do. And I think he's going to show up in big ways.
That's exactly what Malachi tells us.
That's
you know,
right.
He says, test me, prove it.
That's right.
Let me prove myself to
right,
you.
Right, right.
And he's going to come through because he's God.
That's right.
I had an interview yesterday with Dr. Shariat from Iran, and he has this marvelous ministry that's going into Iran. And, you know, you would think about a country like that, and I think most people, most Americans, would not give a nickel's chance that the gospel is ever going to burn brightly in that country.
Yeah.
But he's saying it's just the opposite, because the gospel is burning brightly everywhere it is. It's not weak. It's not impotent.
Right.
I think American faith might be weak and impotent.
Yeah.
And, you know, my question to you on that subject would be this. You know, we talked about the cycles and the kind of the move that we've gone downward. There was a pastor that said to me years ago, or said, I heard him speak, and he talked about the fact that every time, every church, every movement, every generation goes through a time of planting, we go through a time of sifting, we go through a time of harvesting.
Yeah.
And sometimes all three of those cycles can be happening in the same time.
Yeah.
We seem to be in a time of sifting in our country right now. This is a real difficult time. There's not a lot of optimism about the harvest among a lot of believing churches. There are many believers that have dropped out, more so than ever before. But I believe that when that happens, and it sounds like you would believe this as well, God is still working, and there's still going to be his move in the people.
Yeah, I mean, I think we always have to go back to the story of Elijah, and when we're looking at this and say, you know, Elijah feels like he's the only one left. He's
that's
the only
right.
one who's left that's faithful. And I do think that sometimes it can feel that way in the American church right now.
Yeah.
I think we're starting to see just a lot of things push in. We're seeing people fall away from the church, seeing people leave the church, you know, say, oh, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual, whatever variations of those things we're seeing. But the reality is there's probably, you know, more than 7,000 people who have not bowed the knee to Baal that God is still using in America to work. And so I think as, you know, as Christians, again, to kind of go back to Matthew 24, I think as Christians, you know, we don't have a strategy to win. We don't, when Christ is describing these tribulations to his disciples, he's not giving them a roadmap to stop the tribulations. What he's encouraging them to do is to endure through the tribulations. And so when I say we don't have a strategy to win, what I'm saying is, you know, I liken it to the Rocky movies.
Yeah.
You know, the first Rocky movie where he says, I don't want to beat Apollo. I just want to go the distance. That's sort of what it feels like we need to be doing.
Yeah.
We need to not worry so much about winning and we just need to endure. We need to patiently and faithfully follow our Lord, despite whatever challenges we're facing. And when we endure to the end, he'll bring us home.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's, again, it's one of those simple aspects of the gospel that we so overcomplicate.
Yeah, I agree.
That we tend to forget. It's like, oh, yeah, all we really have to do is obey.
That's right.
We're freed to obey. That's what we're freed to do.
You know, when you look at the Bible verses like he who endures to the end will be saved. I mean, that's the kind of promise that we really need. And that's the kind of promise that we have. But I think a lot of people have forgotten that, and they're looking at this. And again, prosperity is one of those tests that can take people off. Getting comfortable in our lives, where we love our lives more than we love God.
That's right.
And that also is an earmark of today's culture. We love ourselves, and in some ways, we become our own gods in that way, and that's sad.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as we look at something like, you see this in the biblical narrative. So God creates all things. He creates an order. He asks us to live according to that order. But then by Genesis 3, which is just two short chapters away, we see humanity trying to reestablish their own order.
Yeah.
And I think we live that out on a day-to-day basis. We're consistently disordering what God has already ordered. And he's given us the roadmap for this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And as we keep those things in that order, we're always going to be in a better space than if we invert them.
That's right.
You know, and it certainly isn't love yourself, then maybe love God, and then if you get around to it, love your neighbor. It's love God, love neighbor as self. And so there is a paradigm here that I think Christians need to be embracing. And, you know, to your point, as a gentleman who's got the ministry in the Middle East, salt is salty.
That's right.
When you put salt on food, it doesn't matter what happens. That salt is going to taste salty. And so I think the gospel can shine brightly. I think it can change the flavor of the conversation as long as God's people are salty, as long as we are lights that are not hidden.
And we need to keep that saltiness salty, because we all know what happens to salt when it's neutralized and it's lost its strength. It's flat.
That's right. That's right.
That's like, it.
We want to be salty.
You were talking about Elijah, and I had a thought about how ironic it is that all of that conversation that he had with God, it followed one of the most outstanding miracles, calling the fire down for the... in defeating the prophets of Baal, and the sacrifice is consumed with calling fire out of heaven. You would have thought that in a moment like that success, that his faith would have been bolstered and nothing would have rocked him off center.
Yeah.
But it was like the very next day, here comes Jezebel, and he is off and running full gallop.
Literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally. And until he runs like for days. It's just crazy. And then God in his kindness did not let him out of his sight at all.
Well, I think one of the things we can learn in that narrative is that, you know, probably something around when we're exhausted, we're going to be far more susceptible to feeling alone and helpless and as if all of this is futile. And so we really do need each other.
We do.
We need to coordinate. We need to coordinate through discipleship. We need to coordinate through the local church. These things are not just things God has commanded for the fun of it. They are given to us to support us in the proclamation of the gospel. And I think increasingly, as I've read scripture, one of the things that I've come to really be convinced of is we're building the church for the world. We're not just doing it for ourselves, right? It's not about just Christians. We're building the church for the world. And to the extent that the body of Christ is strong, we show the world a different way of being. We show them the way, the truth, and the life just by building the church.
That's beautiful.
And so we've got to really attend to how we go about participating in the church, building the church, being the church in the world, and not worry so much about affecting the world. I think our best strategy for affecting the world is to be the church.
To be the church and not give up.
That's right.
We've got
That's
to right. endure to the end.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are saying of this country that it's too late. But I'm praying that, as Mark Twain said, news of my death has been greatly over-exaggerated or something close to that. I don't think the American church is over yet. I think we've got too many people praying, too many people believing, and we're asking God for a revival in this country. Got just enough time to ask you what's happening on the calendar at D.L. Moody Center.
Well, right now, D.L. Moody Center is undergoing some remodeling. So they're old historic buildings. Occasionally, we've got to kind of shut them down and make sure we've got them in good shape. So we've put on new roofs. We've done some painting. We're getting some floor work done, just making sure that we're preserving that legacy really, really well. I think I'm also, in addition to president of D.L. Moody Center, the other thing that I'm doing right now, I'm president of Useful to God. And so Useful to God is a new ministry that I'm starting, and we're doing discipleship training, we're doing biblical study, we're doing biblical integration for high schoolers, homeschoolers.
Wonderful.
And so that's going to be coming out in the next few months, full force. So that's been fun. And I'm over both organizations now. But yeah, D.L. Moody Center is doing really, really well. We continue work on the Digital Archives Project. I would really encourage people to go and read some of D.L. Moody's letters, moodycenter.org. It's free to go into the Digital Archives and check things out, and they are fantastic letters to read.
It's so encouraging to hear that people can go back in time, if you will, when you're reading one of those letters.
Yeah.
And it's a different era then, but the God who was D.L. Moody's Lord is the same Lord today.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you look back at his letters, you'll see God and God's fingerprints all over this man's life. And so it's worth the effort to go moodycenter.org, check out the Digital Archives, totally free, and just search around and read some of his letters.
So what's this week like for you?
I've been doing a lot of press on the new book, Serpents and Doves. And so I've written a book on politics, or Christians' politics and the art of bearing witness. And the real goal of the book is not to say, hey, vote this way or vote that way, but to say, as a church, we're to point to and glorify Jesus Christ no matter what we do. And so we need to be thinking through how it is that we're doing that through our political participation. And we shouldn't be defaulting to any position other than we're here to point to and glorify Jesus Christ.
That's wonderful. Dr. James Spencer, and he has his PhD in theological studies from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, his master's from Wheaton College, and of course he is the one that is leading this world-renowned D.A. Moody Center, and you're up there in the cold, frozen, chosen north, man.
I am not. I actually live near St. Louis, so I work remotely. But it is chilly up there, and it's been a real blessing to be involved in the D.L. Moody Center. I do a lot of work on D.L. Moody. I've actually got a book that is going to be coming out later this year. It's a compilation of some of D.L. Moody's books that I wrote an introduction commentary to, and so it's been just a joy to be able to get to know D.L. Moody.
Yep.
In that way, especially through his letters. He's a fantastic person to get to know, and folks really should pick up his books, check out the archives, visit moodycenter.org.
I agree.
Because there's so many lessons we can learn from him.
Serpents and Doves, it's the new book out, James Spencer, and you can get it, I'm sure, at Amazon.
Amazon.com with everything else.
That's right. That's where they do it.
That's right.
It's all put out by Useful to God, and it is always an honor to see you, my friend.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me back.
If you're a Christian business person and you want to meet people who want to do business with you, you need to join the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce. Why? Because the mission of the Christian Chamber is to build kingdom, business, and community. And it all starts with the Christian principle of building relationships. To learn more about the Christian Chamber and all the different ways you can get engaged with hundreds of other Central Florida Christian business people, visit cfchristianchamber.com or call 407-258-3570.
Thank you so much for being with me today on Afternoons with Mike. So appreciate the man that you just heard in our previous segment, Dr. James Spencer from Moody. He is always a delight, and I know that it is something that I walk away from talking to this guy changed for his passion for the Lord. It really is amazing. At the NRB, we had an opportunity to talk with 32 people that I actually had a chance to interview. And here it is now, almost in kind of ending the second week of programs from there. And I've got a lot more that will be happening next week, including an interview one day next week with David Fisher. He is the producer of a new film that's coming out called Sight. Friends, I can't wait for you to hear this. So be watching for that. Yeah, we'll put the word out on our Facebook page when that's going to happen. Also, next week, I'm going to be actually at the Driver's Mart location in Orlando on 436. We're going to be doing a remote broadcast as all part of the Dave Ramsey giveaway that we're doing with the tax program that he has. It's something that all you have to do is to go to our website right now. That is theshepherdradio.com, theshepherdradio.com, and sign up. You just might win yourself a free tax service from Dave Ramsey, The Ramsey Show. Again, that's theshepherdradio.com. Will not cost you a thing. And then we'll be awarding these certificates next week at Driver's Mart on Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 6. I sure hope you can make it out there to see me then. All right, let's get on with Joe Schimmel.
Here with me right now is my friend Joe Schimmel. Boy, it's always good to see you, Joe.
It's always great to be with you, Mike.
You know, you are the leader of the Good Fight Ministries, and you're always involved in things that are, I think, relative to today. Parents need what you do to help guide their kids through the waters of life. And right now, Joe, I know you would agree, this is a tough time to parent a teen right now.
Yeah, just as Jesus said, it would become like the days of Lot. Things would get incredibly dark in the end times, and it's really heartbreaking because our kids are being targeted by, as you know, Mike, very well, by mass media and the gender dysphoria, all the things that are going on right now. We're not an accident. You know, we're foretold that these things would happen, so we have to be hypervigilant.
What I always love about your ministry is that you're based in California, and all of us that are hearing the news coming out of California, it would be anything but encouraging. But you guys are really doing the good fight there.
Yeah, we're kind of on the front lines in that respect in some ways because we're right there with Hollywood. We go to Highland and Sunset for years. We'd go there and street witness up until like 1 in the morning. So you really get a really good sense of, sadly, the lost state people are in. A lot of broken lives, a lot of people coming from other states, countries to be stars, end up on the streets. And you just see the cesspool that is Hollywood and the sad fruit, you know, that is the effect of a kind of do what thou wilt mentality, you know?
Yeah. Now, I know that the movie that came out within the last year, The Jesus Revolution, that had to carry some real significant meaning for you guys.
Yeah. There was, you know, a bit of, from our vantage point, there was an admixture. There was some really good things. There was also, you know, a lot of young people were turning to Jesus, you know? You did have, and it's kind of shown in the movie, you had Lonnie Frisbee, who was more experientially based and, you know, focused just, you know, mainly on miracles and so forth.
Right.
And that, you know, there's been a spiritual aftermath of that was not pretty, some of the fruit from that. But there's been a lot of good fruit from, you know, the preaching of the Word of God that Chuck Smith emphasized, you know.
Right. Well, so tell me about your thoughts from the Super Bowl.
Wow. You know, we do a expose every year on the Super Bowl and on the Grammys. We've got, I think, you know, probably going on, I don't know, 500,000 views already on the, well, I'm not getting all the views, but it's getting a lot of traction, both the Super Bowl video we did, expose-wise, and on the Grammys, because they go back to back. And this is the time of year where we get a bunch of eyeballs because people are interested in what's being communicated from a spiritual standpoint. With regard to the Super Bowl, Mike, I wasn't sure. I thought, you know what, I may not even do a strong expose because Usher was the, you know, and he's known for a lot of promiscuity in his songs, and I thought, you know, we expose a lot of the occult influence in a lot of these bands and so
mm-hmm.
forth. So
yeah.
I thought, you know what? I don't know how much of that is going to be with regard to Usher. I told my guys, I go, I'm not sure how much we're going to have. And I said, but I'm going to pray about it. And, Mike, I began to just pray about it and plunge into researching Usher. And, you know, we did our video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, and other videos that have been just a huge blessing to a lot of people and seeing the occult construct that is so much rock, pop, and hip-hop, right? Well, when I looked at Usher, I was blown away. I thought, wow, this is a part of history that needs to be unfolded. And there's things that happened at the Super Bowl, but I basically did a video where you're basically peering into, at the age of 15, Mike, his mom handed him over to Sean Combs, Puff Daddy, you know, P. Diddy, Sean Combs, a top rapper at the time, who was basically making other rappers, you know, and R&B artists and so forth, hit factories. And she gave him over to him at 15, where she was being paid by P. Diddy, we'll call him P. Diddy, many nicknames, so much a week. And he was grooming Usher. In fact, Usher, according to what P. Diddy was saying, was, you know, they're waking up in the same bed together. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we show this in the video. We show Puff Daddy talking about with Hart, you know, Kevin Hart, the comedian. And Kevin Hart starts just busting up because, which he shouldn't be laughing, he should be grieving. They're in a room, and he goes, let's step away from the bed. You know, homo, you know, makes a little homosexual comment. And then, you know, no homo thing kind of thing. And then as they get away from the bed, he goes, yeah, we were, you know, since he was, you know, a young guy, you know, and at 15, we were waking up together. And then he stops and he goes, pause. And then Kevin Hart starts busting up. And the sad thing is that we show an interview with Mark Curry, a songwriter who wrote for P. Diddy, was part of Bad Boys Records with P. Diddy, and a partner in songwriting. And we show an interview with him. He's talking about his book called The Devil's Disciples. And he wrote it because he said, you know, he talks about just how a bad influence P. Diddy was. And he says, he was taught by the record executives over him to do voodoo rituals those who he's mentoring to ensure the success of their music. I mean, you know, you've seen the evidence we've shown before and so forth. It's all over the place. And sure enough, Usher just took off. Well, guess what? You know, Justin Bieber, when he's like 15 years old, Usher brings him to P. Diddy. And Justin Bieber, it's very sad. We show, if somebody just Googled, you know, Good Fight Ministries, you know, Usher, you know, Super Bowl, they'd come to our video on that, and it's very compelling. So we show that history with, you know, and we show, you know, he says everything was being dangled in front of me, Bieber, you know, and he's in shambles and tears at some point, and who knows what happened there. I don't, you know, you can only speculate, but you just your heart breaks. But also, Mike, at the Super Bowl, a lot of people have been talking about this, as you had, you know, you had some huge stars, and Ice Spice is a huge star, but she's not nearly as big as Taylor Swift.
Oh my
but
goodness!
There she was with Taylor Swift, and they're sitting together, and it's really crazy because a lot of people have been talking about this because all of a sudden Taylor Swift turns totally to her right and begins chugging this huge beer. It's at the Super Bowl, and she's got so much press, right? And they know they're on the Jumbotron. She starts chugging her beer, and then Ice Spice, who's like one space away from her, starts putting up the devil horns with both hands.
I saw that.
Yeah, waving them.
I saw that. And it was freaky.
And then she grabs her necklace.
Which has
an upside down cross. That's right, bro. So we're like, this is crazy because it's important to keep in mind, a few years ago, Lady Gaga, you know, said something kind of witchy, at least in Taylor's mind, about who she was going to start seeing. And then she starts seeing this guy long before Kelsey, who plays the Kansas City Chiefs, right? And then they start seeing each other, and she says, that was Lady Gaga's spell being granted. And then so she's doing the witchy thing a little bit, right? Well, she came out with an album just before Midnight's came out, that album. And then she has a song on it called Willow, which is all about witchcraft. I mean, the video to it, she's going out with other witches to a coven, and they're in a circle in the woods, and there's these spirit orbs coming up, and they're floating them, and they're all wearing these robes. And she's done 4 or 5 remixes of Coven, of the song Willow. And each time she says something, basically to all the witches of the world, things like that. She just, this makes you think about going out with your friends to do, you know, witchcraft in the forest, does it? You know, that kind of stuff. And then she says, or not, you know. And so there's been a lot that going on with Taylor. But when you see this just full, and that's when you and I know from a biblical perspective that witchcraft is satanic. It's the spirit world. But now you have the devil horns with upside down cross. And Mike, this is what's interesting. If somebody just typed in, you know, basically they go to Good Fight Ministries on YouTube, and they just type in Ice Spice, and they type in Taylor Swift, they'll come to our video, because what happened was Snopes, TMZ, they basically carried the water for her and Taylor, and they're like, was this devil worship? And then they say things. I think Snopes said, it wasn't an upside down cross, really. They had to backtrack on that. TMZ said, you know what? From our sources, this was just something innocent. It was given to her by Playboy Cardi, and I guess, you know, like an ex-boyfriend, and Playboy Cardi gave it to her. But, you know, but you know, who knows for sure, kind of thing. They play it off. Well, what we do in our video expose, I look at Owens, who's the one who designed this jewelry, and we show that cross, you know, with the backdrop. It's fully upside down, inverted cross, which is to mock Jesus. It's blasphemy of the Son of God, right? And then we show other symbols, skulls. We show skulls of Jesus with supposed to be Jesus because he's got the crown of thorns, just totally demonic stuff. But then we spend some time looking at Playboy Carti, who sent her the cross. And Mike, on both shoulders, he has these big upside-down crosses tattooed on him. He's got a cross being canceled out that's right side up, but it's being a circle around it being canceled out like the bad religion symbol. It has, next to his belly button, we show you that he's got this huge, this Baphomet goat head. Mm-hmm. We show on his neck, on the back, just scrawled across his neck, a tattoo that says Satan. Okay, so no, he wasn't. Some say, oh, maybe it's supposed to be like St. Peter's cross, you know, and so forth. No. No, Mike, you know what this is about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so concerned because parents are taking their kids to this Eras tour all over the world.
Yeah.
Not just in the United States, but this, you know, some people are now declaring Taylor Swift as the most popular person on the planet.
That's amazing.
On the planet. And I saw the video that is coming from this tour, what you're talking about, and it must be the song Willow. It's just downright scary to realize this is what our young kids are being taken to these concerts by their parents.
Right.
And being exposed to this. And when Ice Spice did that little sign that you made, I don't know, wouldn't even know how she did it, but it was
devil horns.
It was devil horns. And it looked like she was casting a spell. I mean, that's what it looked like.
Well, it's funny you say that because Taylor had you know, whispered in her ear with her hand over her, you know, and I don't know if it was choreographed or what, because then you see her, as I said, turning sideways.
And chugging Spice, the beer,
and But Ice Spice is looking at her when she turns sideways. Like, that's like the cue, perhaps. And then all of a sudden she goes, then she starts doing the devil horns. And she's doing it toward it's funny you said casting a spell. So that's interesting that she's not holding them up how you typically do. She's put him down toward the field,
the field.
And then she adjusts her upside down cross. And it's interesting because when you look at, so since you mentioned like she was casting a spell, when you see Taylor Swift on the Eras tours, she'll be in her witchy, you know, robe, dark, you know, and hood and everything. And then she'll, you know, throw her hands like she's casting a spell. And then all of a sudden the lights will all like go on. Then she'll cast it this way. And like she's got power. You know, and she does have power, but I do believe it's from the, you know, obviously the demonic world.
Mm.
And we've warned about her for some time. Watch where she's bringing your children. She seems so innocent, country artist at first, but her songs are so promiscuous, jumping from one guy to the next over and over and over again, which is a hugely bad example for our children. So, but you're so right, bro, as if not the most popular person in the world. I mean, she's right there, or she is, right? But she's influencing millions of young people. And when we wonder why so many young people are turning to witchcraft and promiscuity and so forth, it's not happening in a vacuum, right? Right? We see the influences. These are their modern-day idols that they're looking to. And the Bible says you become like what you worship. And, well, there you go.
Well, and, you know, you've talked about Marvel. I mean, there's a whole bunch that you guys have done. There is so much that parents need to become aware of. But I think a lot of people are just busy in their lives.
Yeah.
And they let their kids just kind of go on their own.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the parents aren't being vigilant, there are plenty of people of bad sources that are being vigilant, and they're aiming all of their goods right toward our young people.
Right. And that's absolutely the case. And, I mean, you know, we're compared to sheep, right? And we're supposed to follow the good shepherd. And as we follow the good shepherd, Jesus, he leads us in the narrow way to eternal life. But when you look at those documentaries, those are not by accident. God gives us those pictures of the you know, the lion, for instance, waiting, looking for that wildebeest or the babies, you know, looking for those who aren't as discerning, looking for those who stray from the flock. And as Christians, we need to stay together in Christ. We need to iron sharpen iron, link shields together and so forth. But we also need to protect our little ones, because Satan has it's easy for him with the little ones. So as parents, we need to be hypervigilant. We need to educate them. And that's what Good Fight Ministry is about. We want to we like people to check out our videos. You can see all these so many of these videos for free and become aware of what's going on and make your children aware. You know, I homeschool all three of my children. My son's serving in ministry. My daughter's serving in ministry. My other daughter she's part of our ministry as well, doing things together. But a lot of that had to do, bro, with recognizing that I need to protect them. You can't. They got their own will, but we need to do all that we can to pray for them, to love them. Don't freak out and just, you know, you know, go ballistic on them, but let them know you love them. Let them know that you really do care about them, that you're there for them, and set an example so they can see that you're truly following Christ. You know?
I love it. Joe, you're such a wonderfully inspiring guy, and the heart that you guys have, you and Chad Davidson, who I've had recently on the show.
Praise God. That's my son-in-law. He's married to one of my daughters.
Yeah, that's great. And he's such a fun guy to talk with. But I know you've also written a book. We've got just a couple of minutes left, called Sparky and the Broken Mirror.
Yeah, Sparky the Broken Mirror is, well, guess what? Targeting the kids for Jesus, right? So basically, you have the creator, this king, this, you know, who makes a mirror in his image, and he hangs it. The image is a picture of us. And as a pastor, I use illustration of how we're created in the image of God, and we're supposed to mirror God. We're supposed to shine his light. And I use that illustration as a pastor. But if a mirror gets broken, you know, how does it fix itself? It can't turn inward because it doesn't know what it's supposed to look like. It has to go, you know, be amended by its creator. And the idea is the serpent, you know, tricks this mirror. It jumps off the castle wall. It breaks in a bunch of pieces. The art illustration is just absolutely amazing. And I think we talked briefly about it before it actually was done. And then Sparky goes to, you know, he goes to a doctor, gives him a band-aid. That's not going to work. Goes to the Far East, meets a yogi, and becomes, he's an old fogey, and he doesn't get fixed because he says to contemplate your belly button. The therapist says, look inward. Everyone he goes to, a witch levitates him. Last piece of shard of glass breaks when he falls down. Makes him even worse after going to the witch. And then eventually he's in the dark forest. In the dark forest, the light shows up. Then the next page, the king shows up. He restores him. He fixes him. And his hands are bleeding because he's putting the glass back together.
Yeah, shards of glass.
Picture of Jesus dying for us. And then I explain the meaning with at the very end that this is the picture of Christ for all the kids, you know.
That's great. So, Joe Schimmel, yeah. Good Fight Ministries, thank you for doing the good
Thanks
fight.
Thanks for having me on, Mike. Praise God for you brothers.
It's always fun to talk with you, brother.
Join host Mike Gilland for The Shepherd at Work every Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m. You will be introduced to a marketplace leader that will help you learn to walk out your faith wherever you live and work. The Shepherd at Work is sponsored by the Central Florida Christian Chamber, building kingdom, business, and community throughout our area. That's The Shepherd at Work, this Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m.
I've had the privilege of talking to several folks from Southwest Radio Church, and one of them is Dr. Greg Patton, who's been on my program before. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you, my brother.
And this time, face-to-face.
Face-to-face, rather than on the phone. I like it.
You know, that's one of the, I think, the joys of coming together at conferences like this. I call the NRB a feeding frenzy.
Oh, yes.
It's like. I mean, it's nonstop.
It is, isn't it? It's hard to get your head around everything going on here, but like it.
This is kind of a very important year, I think, not only for churches and believers, but we've got this big election that's happening up. What are you seeing happen here at this particular event in Nashville this year that has really struck you?
I think the friendliness of the people. This is my first one, by the way. All these years I've been in Christian radio. I've been a general manager. I've had my own talk show, etc.
Yeah.
So finally through Southwest we were able to get here this year. But I've enjoyed meeting all the people, and it's kind of exciting. I mean, everywhere you turn there's something going on, and I'm kind of overwhelmed, to be real honest.
Well, you know, coming to the Opryland Hotel is overwhelming
it
in
is,
the first
in itself.
Place.
That's right.
Yeah, the first year we were here, we didn't know anything about this facility. We knew it had an attached convention center, which
right.
is where you and I are sitting right now.
Sure.
But I think we were as far away from the convention center as any room could be that
right.
year.
Right.
So I've learned a little bit. This
yes.
year, we are much, much closer to the convention center. It's a five-minute walk now.
It is. It's great.
I think that first year, I had 15,000 steps a day or
oh
something
my.
Like that. It was
oh.
nuts.
It's busy. Very busy.
But
yep.
you're right. It is overwhelming.
Yes.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Because you're seeing people, you're hearing some of the most wonderful messages, making contacts, and I know that helps you.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, you said you had a talk show before. Tell me about that.
Yes, well, I was a general manager and a part of the Bot Radio Network.
They're
so
yeah.
huge now. And I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I started Mr. Bot Station in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And so I had the talk show on there. I did it all. I was the general manager, talk show. But that's my past. I've been a television news anchor man. I've been a rock radio disc jockey before I got saved.
And we talked about about that the first
time. That's
correct.
So I've done a little bit of everything. So it's been good for me. I really enjoy it. And they're using me that way now at Southwest. They're getting ready to launch television. And so they've asked me to be a big part. But what they're asking, I'd almost have to move from Fort Wayne down to Bluff City, where their headquarters are, in order to do that.
Mm.
Because it's going to be something almost every day and certainly a weekly update. And I said, wow. They said, yeah, why don't you just bring your wife down every week? I said, oh, yeah, she'd love that.
A lot of travel involved in that.
A lot of travel. So something to pray about. I have a church. I've been pastoring for 36 years.
In Fort Wayne.
In Fort Wayne at the Cross. Yeah, been there a long time.
I think I've only been to Fort Wayne one time. I'm from Evansville, Indiana.
Oh, down the southern part of the state.
That's right. Southwest tip, right there in the toe of the boot, man.
Yes, indeed.
So I've loved Indiana and haven't lived there since 85, but boy, God's doing some great things in that state.
And Indiana's really growing. Fort Wayne, really growing in light of the fact that they're doing all kinds of things downtown.
Yeah.
Working with the river, which is Three Rivers is the main part of Fort Wayne. They're really cleaning things up, new hotels coming in, all kinds of things happening. People are pretty excited with the growth in the city. So
you're right up there in the northern part of Indiana.
Northeast part of the state.
That's right. Just in the diametrically opposite part of the geography of Indiana.
Exactly.
From where I grew up. But,
yes, sir.
Well, your book that you've got out looks so good, Invisible War on the Saints.
I was going to share, you had Alex McFarland earlier.
Yeah, he was here.
He had us on Monday on one of his shows. And immediately, sales went through the roof there with that book. And
wow.
He did a great job, though. He was with me, agreeing with me with everything I was talking about. We had about a half hour together. It was really good.
And Alex is one of these guys. I mean, let's face it, if Dr. Michael Brown puts you on his microphone to fill in for him, you've got something good going on.
You know you got it going on, yeah. And he does. Right. He was just so kind and did an excellent job. He's really good.
Yeah, he is. And I know that all of the people that I've met from Southwest, I would say, are in that category of just really being compelling, really being interesting. So good to know that there's a group out there that's putting the word out, and in a balanced way, talking about things like the end times and all. And there's so many extreme kind of people that are out there that have maybe had a little bit less from the standpoint of biblical integrity.
Sure.
Talk about end time or, end times, eschatology. But you guys are really preaching the word.
They're doing a very good job, and I'm excited to be a part of it. I'm one of the board members there, and Matthew Hill has taken that to new heights. He's really getting a lot of publications out, a lot of work, like I say, working on television. He's made several contacts down here at the NRB, so we're going to be doing even more than we have been. So
that's wonderful.
We're excited just to be a part of it. So.
You know, I talked with one of your people that would be the behind-the-scenes people that really helped put on the recent event that you did in Hudson, Florida.
Yes.
Just north of Tampa,
in that area,
Clearwater.
Yes.
They said he had a great turnout.
Oh, we did. It was wonderful. And I get to meet so many new people. That's what's so exciting. And I have a great time doing it. And, I get to go with them almost every meeting. And I'm different than all the rest. They're talking. I'm just kind of a general guy. I'm a utility fielder. Usually they explain who's coming on and what the guy's going to be talking about. Matthew always introduces me as, well, here's Greg Patton. We have no idea what he's going to talk about. So that's...
They need to call you General Patton. That's what they need.
That was my radio name.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. General Patton down in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh, my word. And I remember we talked about your rock show that
that's
you had.
That's it. That's a big deal. So the book has really been good. It's helped so many people.
Yeah.
It really has. It's pretty down to earth. It's just people, again, some things that we have missed, I think. Pastors have missed, Christian workers, period, have missed. And so Dr. Copley, who's a colleague of mine, together, we've been doing this for 80 years combined. And we're going to start doing some seminars. Southwest is going to be sponsoring some of these. We're going to do one-day seminars in cities around the country. Six sessions. We're going to have a booklet, if you will, to talk about question and answers, basically to help pastors and missionary workers, Christian school workers, on the area spirit world without taking it way out there where it's really frightening. Just some common sense things. Dr. Copley and I both went to Bob Jones University. Neither one of us knew anything about the spirit world till we came under attack, both of us. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of led us down to the path that we're on now. So, yeah, this book came out in October and from Southwest Radio Church. It was the top seller for the year coming out in October. So a lot of people have been getting a...
I had Josh Davis on.
Josh, absolutely.
From your organization.
Sure.
And he was talking about that whole balance thing of really resting between these two points that are so true, that the Bible teaches that God is sovereign.
Amen.
He is in control of all things.
Amen.
And yet we're called upon to pray and to believe, and that prayer changes things.
Absolutely.
So both of those things, even though they may seem like they're on opposite ends of the picture, some people, when they hear the sovereignty of God, they've reacted and said, well, why even pray?
Yes.
If God is sovereign, he's going to make what he wants to have happen anyway, right?
Right.
And that's not part of the plan.
No,
it's not the other side of it.
That's correct, yeah. And I think we need to understand that. And you get that attitude with a lot of people. I mean, as a pastor, I've been doing this for 36 years.
Yeah.
And some of the things that people come up with, I say, where did you get that? I'm kind of amazed. Alex brought out to the fact, he said, I don't understand. He said, you know, all the years I've been doing this in ministry, he said, I've never heard a message on hell, and I've never heard a message on spiritual warfare. He said, I think it's worse than ever. He said, and why aren't we talking about that? Why aren't preachers preaching about that? And I think there's a great fear factor involved, which I don't understand either. We should be knowledgeable. God says, do not be ignorant, okay, of his devices, talking mm-hmm. about the enemy. We should know, and just to have it in your toolbox. That's what I tell pastors. You don't have to focus on the demonic. You're supposed to focus on Jesus Christ and glance at the enemy now and then.
Yeah.
And so just have this in your toolbox when something happens, like happened to me in Vidalia, Georgia. A woman came after Sharon and I, my wife, who was 8 months pregnant, with a butcher knife.
Whoa!
In the missionary apartment. We didn't know what was going on. I was there to counsel her. I knew she had some problems, so I wanted to help her after the service. Pastor says, go up to the missionary apartment, and you guys work up there. We were having a great conversation. All of a sudden, this gal gets up, walks over to the kitchen area, pulls out a drawer, and I looked at my wife like, what's going on here? And she pulled out a butcher knife, Mike, came at us, and almost, it was a demonic laugh. Sharon and I both thought, and I know our imaginations ran wild at that point, but it was like her eyes were glowing red.
Yeah.
And she came at us, and I didn't know what to do at that point. It was pretty new, kind of a novice. I put my hand up. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you stop right where you are. She fainted dead away.
Oh.
And then I've had so many experiences like that. I said, wow, the power of God and his very name, it does work.
Yeah.
And she woke up, bless her heart. She said, what am I doing on the floor? I said, you don't know what just happened here? She said, no. And so, and that's true. Once those things take over in an individual, oftentimes they have no idea what they have done.
And there's a lot of things that would have to be in place for them, for the devil to be able to take over like that.
Oh, yes. And she's had it. Oh, she had a lot of problems.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
so,
yeah.
And we were able finally to help her. She's now on my Facebook page and puts numbers of verses on there every day and is one of my biggest cheerleaders.
Well,
so,
how about that?
To God be the glory.
Now, so, if a person didn't believe in demons before an event like that, they
right.
probably would believe in the demonic in a new way up close.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Southwest has put that together at InvisibleWarAndTheSaints.com. And boy, people are getting handle on that. It's helping them. And our whole goal, Luke 4:18, heal the brokenhearted, set the captive free. And
yeah.
God's allowed us to do that. And I'm thrilled. That's all I want to do.
I don't know if this is the chapter. I think it is. Yes. What are they going to do? What are you going to do
when they come
for you?
Yeah.
that is great. And I think that you've got this heading in here
mm-hmm.
that just spoke to me when I saw it. It's called The Biggest Problem for the Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you
mm-hmm.
see that all Christians must really wrestle with and deal with?
Well, I think it's unbelief. As far as working in the demonic, there's two things that are really strong. Number one is fear. I'm amazed at pastors how fearful they are. They've told me not to speak about Satan or demon sometimes when I'm going to go in their pulpit and I just say, I don't think you want me to talk, because that's our number one enemy. I think we should know something about him. We're not going to go out there in left field. I just want to explain to people that he's real and can do some incredible things, okay? And so with that, fear, God says he's not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind.
Right.
I think you should exercise that. And I tell people, I think the devil and his demons should be afraid of you, not the other way around. You've got the Holy Spirit of God in you. You are really undefeatable in
that area. Truth is, if you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, they are fearful of you.
They should be. Yeah, but we get scared, and they can. They can scare you. We've had some. I was talking with a spirit. I don't do this anymore. When I first started, I really didn't know what I was doing in some areas. And so I would talk with spirits within people. And one of the most dangerous I ever dealt with was Abaddon. That was his, it's a biblical name, Abaddon. And I was telling him, I said, you have been defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ, and Christ defeated you on the cross of Calvary. And he said, you need not tell me that. I stood there and watched your Jesus die. And I just got chills all over my body.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I said, so you know you're defeated. He said, how about I send Moloch to your house? He said. And I thought, what? You know, send, he was, this woman I was talking to was 625 miles away. Within 10 seconds, our home began to shake like an earthquake in Cherubusco, Indiana. Pictures falling off the wall. We had a cat fly right through the house like it had wings. And I just, my wife said, what is happening to us? And I said, I have no idea. I mean, so there's some real stuff out there.
It's
not imaginary and not made up. And again, I didn't know what to, did the same thing I did with the girl in Vidalia. I just said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you stop this now. Everything stopped right then. And But it felt like our home was going to fall apart at the seams.
Wow.
And that's some of the stuff we've experienced. It's in the book.
Okay.
And some of the exciting parts are different people that we have helped, who are victorious today and are serving God throughout the country, that were really doing nothing because they had been weighed down by sin and demonic activities.
So. Well, a follow-up to my question a moment ago would be for 2024, believers looking at our country in the shape that it's in right now, what's step one, numero uno, what would it be?
Yeah. Well, again, I think you're seeing demonic activity in every area, from Washington, D.C. on down. You hear all the talk show hosts, all the major programs, Christian now I'm talking about, they're all talking about more and more demonic activity happening. And I just tell people, hey, God is in control. We need to recognize that, and I can do something. I think sometimes we feel like, well, I can't do anything, you know, a church can't do it. Yes, you can. You can do it, sir. I can do it as an individual. And the more we gather together in doing that, we become the Lord's army. I mean, that's what we are. We might be a remnant, but we can do something.
Wow.
And I think oftentimes we just feel like, no, it's all over with. There's nothing we can, I'll never tip the flag to the enemy. We've got to fight that thing until the very end.
Dr. Greg Patton,
yes,
from
sir.
Southwest, it's so great to have you.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having us.
Oh, this is great. And the name of the book again, Invisible War on the Saints. How can people get a copy?
Yeah, InvisibleWarOnTheSaints.com. Southwest has established that, and it's going very well. I'm excited. I'm really thrilled that people are getting a chance to read this and get some help. And we're getting calls now from all over the country. People say, could you help me with this, and could you help me with that?
That's
awesome. There's a lot of material in there to help people individually.
Well, thank you for what you're doing, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Greg Patton from Southwest Radio Church. So good to have him. And that's about all of our time for today. Don't forget to join me next Wednesday. I'll be out at Driver's Mart in Orlando from 2 to 6. That's Wednesday, March 6th. Also, be sure and register for the Dave Ramsey giveaway on our website. All you have to do is go to theshepherdradio.com. We'll see you next time. Have a great weekend.